You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hi, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage no matter where you are in that process. You may have just gotten married, but you want to make sure you don't get into trouble. And that is especially going to be true for today's podcast. This really applies to not only when you're in trouble, but looking forward to a sustainable relationship. You may also be on the verge of a relationship falling apart. And we're here for that too. We're here to give you the mindset, to give you the resources, to give you the techniques and approaches that will help you transform your relationship into something that's never been. Now, today is one of those understanding mindset and application pieces. Really covers all of the pieces that I always talk about. You know, mindset is an understanding you have, right? And then there's a knowledge base, an understanding of what's going on. And then there is a what do you do? And this one really spans all three. Today, I want to talk about this myth that we have about the fact that love should be effortless. Love should be tingly and exciting and just kind of self-sustaining. And the problem with that is it's just not true. If you're in the midst of a relationship, you know that, and it may catch you by surprise. That's the problem here. It's not what happens to a relationship. It's how we understand the relationship. If you don't know the normal path of a relationship, then sometimes couples get into trouble because they expect one thing and they get another. Part of the reason is because we're always looking for some understanding of what's supposed to be. And unfortunately, in our culture, we get the ideas of what's supposed to be through our media, through the TV, through the movies, through songs, through even perhaps an outside view of relationships. And so if you came from an intact marriage, you may have seen, your parents be in this very loving relationship, but you may have missed what happened behind the scenes. If you were in a relationship that fell apart, you may have seen the fighting and the bickering and the place where there wasn't a romantic connection and drawn the conclusion that that was the problem. So here is the truth. There are two levels to love, and both are wonderful. You just have to understand that one only comes as a result of the other, and unfortunately, we put that one first. The one we put first is the romanticized love. Romanticized love is what we see in all the movies and all of the books and in all of the music videos and music, that it somehow reflects this place where we should be so madly and passionately caught up that sustains the whole relationship. The fact is, there's also authentic love. And that's the place that sustains a relationship and sustains a marriage for life. And it's not that authentic love is without the romance. It's that when we put the romance as the target, we'll never get to the authentic love. But when we have the authentic love out there, that's our goal. That's what we have control over. Then the romance comes and goes in relationships. It ebbs and flows just as a natural tide of the relationship, but it's always there. It's always back there. The attraction's always there. So what are the differences between the romanticized and the authentic love? Well, let's take the first one, and this is a biochemical piece. And this is part of what Bob Grant and I talked about in our podcast, and there's actually going to be a link back to that podcast if you didn't listen to it. Bob Grant's a great guy who really has an understanding. What he talks about is the fact that attraction comes from adrenaline or endorphin. Adrenaline is that same substance that runs through your body when you're about to get on a roller coaster that's about to scare you to get death, or when you're standing on the edge of a cliff and you're about to take the leap on that bungee cord, or, you know, you're about to do anything exciting, walk on a stage and talk in front of 1,000 people. What you feel, that overwhelming surge of fear and excitement, that's adrenaline. Well, adrenaline is the first place that the excitement comes from. And adrenaline is always fear-based. And notice that in the early stages of a relationship, you know, what we're afraid of is we're going to lose this other person. So we got to win them over. And so we show all this love and attention and do all we can. And the other person's doing the same thing. And you go, wow, this person's showing me all this love. And the other person's going, wow, this person's showing me all this love. And it holds together in this strong, intense feeling that we'll talk about in the cycle in just a minute. But that's adrenaline. And here's the problem. Adrenaline is not sustainable. Here's the other problem. We humans love adrenaline surges, even if it's out of that excitement. You know, it's like that getting on that roller coaster. Why do you get on the roller coaster if it's going to make you fearful? Because we like the feeling of that, especially after the fact. When you walk off, the adrenaline is giving you that surge of feelings and of aliveness, and it's brought your body to life. And it's the same thing that somebody would stand at the top of a cliff and look over and decide to jump with just a cord or a parachute. It's that same feeling of finding the excitement of life. And there's nothing wrong with adrenaline. The problem is it's not sustainable. And so what I'm not saying is we need to get rid of this idea of romantic love as much as we need to understand that romantic love has got to give away to something else. And that something else is the authentic love, which is based in endorphins. Now, the difference between adrenaline and endorphin is adrenaline is carried through our body by excitement, by fear, by concern that we might lose this other person. Endorphin is carried through our body when we show care and love, when we're acting in loving ways. Instead of being fearful and trying to win the person over and doing all these kind things, we do these kind actions because we've changed from a love as a feeling to love as a verb, as an action. And at that point, our body is now involved in an endorphin process. And those endorphins are bonding chemicals. It's the same thing that happens when you're caring and loving for a child. You create a bond towards that child because you're showing love, you're acting in love. And so we do the same when the love has a chance to move from a romanticized to an authentic. The thing that throws some people off is they expect that feeling of excitement to always be there, and they miss the fact that it's just not sustainable. We would wear out our body if we were feeling the feelings that we feel at the beginning of a relationship our entire life. Our body couldn't sustain that. And so what happens is when that dips, it begins to create some doubts. So another difference between romantic and authentic love is romantic love is about infatuation. You know, you're attracted to the physicality of the person, to maybe there's some other pieces underneath it, but really there's an infatuation with who they are, as opposed to authentic love, which is based in commitment, that you've agreed to something. A commitment is, my definition of a commitment is what you promise to do when you no longer feel the way you did when you made that promise. That's commitment. And when you live into the commitment, what you find is the feelings come back. The feelings restore themselves if they're given space. When they disappear on us is when we are bound into this infatuation of how we should be feeling, of bound into this idea that the infatuation should be carrying the day. And unfortunately, the same thing about infatuation is an adrenaline that they share a common trait. And that is that infatuation will fall away. That doesn't mean you're no longer attracted to a partner, but that level of infatuation, which really is very surface oriented, changes to the commitment level. If it's going to make the shift, it makes it to a commitment level where you say, I'm committed to this person. And more importantly, I'm committed to the relationship. Okay. So what's another difference? Well, excitement is the basis of romantic love. The excitement, you know, you're always trying to figure out what's that romantic gesture to do? What is the gift to give? What is that special place to take them to create the atmosphere where the feelings can emerge and strengthen? I mean, that really is the whole nature of romantic love. Let's stoke the fire. And what it is in authentic love is acceptance, that you recognize this other person is human and has lots of cool things and lots of probably some things that drive you crazy, all in that same bundle. And you accept both. You accept that they have amazing things, amazing personality traits, and amazing ways they do things, and then some ways that drive you crazy, which is true with everyone. But what you've decided to do is step beyond just that you've got to stoke the fires of excitement to the fact that you've got to accept this person. And not only that, but be always looking for where you can just revel in their differentness, revel in their specialness. You think about the fact that we are all so individually and specifically made, and how we all have that special fingerprint of who we are. And part of authentic love is looking for that. Not looking for what drives you crazy, but really of being appreciative of what really brings you some joy from that other person, to look at them and go, wow, that person is really cool because of that. That's when we've moved to authentic love versus how can I win this person over? Now, you notice that a lot of the romantic love really is based on a hormonal drive. It's a sexuality drive. And authentic love doesn't lose the fact that there's a sexual connection, but it takes it to the next level, that it's about commitment and acceptance and being a team, being connected. So romantic love has as its cycle a you love me, I love you cycle. So you love me, so I'm going to show you more love, and you're going to show me more love, so I'm going to show you more love, and you're going to show me more love, and I'm going to show you more love, and that's great for a while. The problem is that pattern is going to break down at some point. It's got to, because life goes on, right? We've got to get back to school, we've got to get back to work, we've got to get back to life, and then the kids come along, and we've got to put those in too, and so suddenly we can't keep constantly trying to stoke that pattern. Now, let me say again, I'm not saying that married couples should toss romance out the window. It's when we're fooled into thinking if the romantic feelings aren't there, there's nothing there, that we get into trouble, because authentic love is based in another idea of continual love. I'm going to keep loving you, meaning I'm going to keep doing my loving gestures towards you. And even if you're not capable of it right now, even if you're not moving towards me at this point, I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep, because I've made a commitment to it, because I accept you, and because I know that endorphin level comes from me continuing to show love, even when we might be in a trough, even when we might be in a low point in our relationship. Couples who have made it to authentic love recognize that the feelings can come and go. The commitment to the relationship is sustainable. It's something you can choose. I can always choose my commitment. I can't make myself feel huge levels of infatuation. That's a part that's a biochemical piece in the body, but I can always choose to work on acceptance. I can always choose to work on my commitment. I can always choose to do loving actions. And that's where we draw the distinction. I've heard a couple of myths out there that people keep telling me, you know, my spouse said this, I don't know if it's true or not. And one is, love should just happen. It should just happen. And the reason we believe this is because often that's the beginning points. You know, you see somebody and you're attracted to them and you have a conversation. You know, I've talked to so many people that I know the story, that at some point they met this person and they had this deep conversation. It was long, hours long. Sometimes people tell me they talked all night, and I can tell you from my own case, that was the case. I think when we had that first connecting conversation, I think we talked for 6 hours, and I don't think we started having that conversation until about 9 o'clock at night. And we kept talking and sharing and connecting. And so you think it should just happen, because it just happened then. And then, you know, the first time you reach out and you feel that electricity, it just happened. And so we fool ourselves into thinking it should just happen. But even back then, it wasn't just happening. I was deciding not to go to bed that night and to have a conversation. I was deciding to reach out, right, and have that physical touch. Those are all efforts, but we don't notice their efforts because it felt effortless, because our adrenaline was carrying the ballgame. And so when we believe that love should just happen when we don't feel love, we think that it must have gone away, rather than recognizing we can choose love. We can choose to move towards our spouse. We can choose to love in action. We can choose to find loving ways of being in that commitment. Another myth I've heard is, and is very similar, is this is just too much work. This one is the one that really kind of catches me by surprise, because we have this idea that love should be effortless when we don't see it anywhere else in life. It's just too much work. It's kind of like saying, you know, I want to be in shape, but going to the gym is just too much work. I don't want to, you know, have a lot of health issues, but eating the right food is just too much work. Or, you know, I want to be good at golf, but it's just too much work. Or, you know, I want to have these friends that we meet up and have these great times, but it's just too much work. And so what I find is that the rest of life, we don't use that excuse. But when it comes to love, if we have to put some effort, especially if we've let it go for a while, especially if we're kind of digging out from a ditch, we think, oh, it's just too much work. It's very much related to the it should just happen idea, that if you're working at it, something is fundamentally wrong with the relationship. Something is fundamentally wrong with the love, rather than seeing that that's just a general state. Or how about this one? I'm not feeling it, so it must not be love. I must have been wrong early on. And here's the myth behind that, that when those feelings go away, the infatuation goes away, it just proves that it really wasn't love after all. What it really demonstrates is you didn't make the shift. And if you did make the shift, you didn't sustain the shift. This is what Gary Chapman talks about, having the tingles. And really, science tells us that the tingles, those feelings of infatuation and excitement that launch a relationship, are not going to last more than 18 months to 2 years, max. Now, that doesn't mean that from then on your relationship is devoid of those feelings. It just means that the intensity of those feelings begins to crest and wane after that 18 months to 2 years, just because you have to kind of get back to life and your body can't sustain it. Your body gets used to that dump of chemicals, and after a while, you know, it just kind of falls away. So the fact that we have this idea that if you're not feeling it, it must not be love, assumes that it's all based in that feeling of infatuation. Or how about this one? I don't feel the excitement. I don't feel the attraction I used to feel. To which I would say, precisely because you're normal. Here's the problem. We haven't been told that. We've been told a lie about all of the romantic feelings that should always be there. And yet you look around and you'll notice that that's not always the case. In fact, the relationships I've seen that are sustained throughout the life, it's not that the romance isn't there, it's that the romance doesn't lead the game. The romance is the back end. Because what happens is when you work on showing love, and you work on honoring commitment, and you work on accepting the other person, guess what emerges? A natural level of attraction and a continuing level of excitement and infatuation of learning more about this person and being attracted to them. But when we try to make that infatuation the heart of it, the excitement the heart of it, as soon as it begins to flounder, we don't know what to do. And so we just assume something must be wrong. I don't feel what I used to feel would be a good estimation of a normal pattern of the relationship. See, there's this bonding process that goes on in a relationship, and it starts off with an attraction. It starts off with, at some point, there's somebody there that catches your eye. Now, I want you to think that there probably have been a number of people who caught your eye, but that relationship never went anywhere. And so a natural part of the attraction process is that it doesn't continue, right? You don't follow up on it. And so at that point, you decide you're not interested. Well, what happens with that attraction is generally it just kind of falls away. So you find someone that's a little attracted, and maybe you know a little more about them. You learn a little more and you say, yeah, I'm not interested in that. There's something there that doesn't match for me. And so if the attraction does continue, though, it creates these very intense feelings. The intense feelings begin to grow. So it starts off as a low-level attraction. You just go, wow, that person's interesting. And then you go, wow, that person turns me on. That's the intense feeling that comes on. At some point, though, you may say, you know what? This is not a person I want to continue with. And so you step aside from that intense feeling. Well, that part is, as soon as you step away, the intense feelings begin to wane. It's the same thing I've watched when people are in the midst of an affair. You know, they found this person they're attracted to, and they, instead of honoring the commitment to the relationship, decide to take action on that. And they have these very intense feelings with the other person. But when they decide it's not the right thing to do, not the right place to be, not the person they need to be with, suddenly those intense feelings fall away. And what I've heard over and over is, I don't know what I saw in that person. I don't know what the attraction was. And here's the thing, our brain, that primitive part of our brain it comes from, is hard to understand. And it's hard to understand how that happens, whether it's in a relationship that develops or another relationship. It's just the fact that our brains wire that way. It's part of the way we propagate our species, right? Of how we make more humans is by having this intense feeling that's driven by some level of sexuality. And so when that falls away, sometimes we realize that they're, you know, we kind of take off our love goggles, our romance goggles, and we see the person for who they are, and those intense feelings fall away. But sometimes we decide to follow up on those intense feelings, and the next level of those intense feelings is true connection. It's when we decide that we're going to fight for this relationship, we're going to work for this relationship, we're going to put effort into the relationship, and as you do that, the connection builds, and that connection then usually is honored with a commitment. At some point, you have to make a commitment on how you're going to follow through. Sometimes, though, we say, not this. You know, I feel connected with you, but I just can't continue this. And so we disconnect. But if we continue that, then we get into the level of sustaining it. what sustains the relationship. It's when we switch to authentic love. Remember, authentic love comes from a couple of places. One of the places authentic love comes from is when we recognize that it's not about adrenaline. Adrenaline's not going to carry the game, nor is infatuation, but it's about endorphins, of creating that love by showing love. It's about being in commitment, of honoring the commitment. It's not about the excitement. It's about the acceptance. And it's not about waiting for the pattern of you love me, so I'll love you, so I love you. But it's about saying, I love you regardless of what happens here. I love you, not meaning I have those feelings just flowing out of me, but I love you that I'm going to take action and make sure I keep sustaining this relationship. Okay, that's kind of the mindset I want you to think about of where your relationship is. Where is it in this place of understanding that the romantic idea of love, it's not that it's wrong or bad, it's that when we see that as the definition of love, we can get stuck. Is your love still caught up in that romantic level? Or maybe your spouse is still caught up in that romantic idea of what should be, and what needs to happen is a movement to authentic love. Now, I'm not saying that romance is at all bad. I don't ever want anybody to think that. I like to think that my wife and I work on our romantic side and that we work on being attracted to each other. But I also recognize that what leads the game is commitment and acceptance. What leads the game is continual love, that when one person isn't able to step into the relationship, the other person will keep doing it. The other person will keep on providing that. That's the foundation for how I understand working back in a relationship. Because some people will say to me, you say that one person can save the relationship. How's that possible? It takes two to tango. Well, it does take two to tango, but somebody's got to ask the other person to start the dance. And that, to me, is the important part. Is somebody willing to say, I'm going to be responsible for my part of the relationship. I'm going to start the process of working back into the connection. Because if you just say it takes two to tango and the other person's not wanting to dance, then you're out of luck. But if you say, I can keep asking, you know, will you dance with me? Will you dance with me? Will you dance with me? You might find that the tango is still there. You might find that it just got lost. You're a little bit rusty. You have to work on that. You have to do a little practicing. You have to put some effort into the lessons. But if you do, you get back in the groove. You figure out how that it's no longer about trying to figure out the exciting new move. It's about doing that move that brought both of you joy. And that's the process of restoring a relationship. If you're ready to take action on that, join me at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's where you can find my Save the Marriage system that's going to teach you how to work back from where you are to where you want to be. And if you've already got the system and you're saying, you know what, I still can't quite figure out how to keep asking, email me and ask me about the virtual coaching program. That is the way that I can respond to your questions and let you know what the next step is. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a loving life full of authentic love.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.